specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield today. The Battle of Trenton, the day after Christmas, December 26, 1776. So basically, we're declaring our independence in July, and a lot of these battles already taking place. This battle being pivotal, you're saying, basically, to whether or not George Washington and the Patriots are going to even win this thing.
Yes, absolutely. We look backward, and this is a point of history. We look backward at history and say, well, it was inevitable. United States of America, independence, Declaration of Independence, Washington, our first president, and so on and so forth. When you lived in the moment, it was not inevitable. It wasn't inevitable to them. It was in serious doubt, especially at this time. We had not had a victory in about a year. We'd forced the British to leave Boston in 1775, but we were chased out of New York, chased out of New Jersey, and we were in great need for a victory. And I'll review in a minute. But let me go back to this thing where the Hessians drunk. Now, there's one point I want to make that is true. So before the battle, an officer in Washington's staff had written a letter, a note to George Washington said, quote, "They make a great deal of Christmas in Germany, and no doubt the Hessians will drink a great deal of beer and have a dance tonight. They will be sleepy tomorrow morning." Maybe that's part of where this whole idea that the Hessians were drunk. And again, how do I know? But the contemporary reports, the primary sources tell us, no, they were not drunk. Now, maybe they were ill-prepared, true, but that you got to put that back to their commander.
Or they partied late and didn't get enough sleep.
Maybe. Okay. Now, notice this, though. This is true. They make a great deal of Christmas in Germany. Here we are in 1776. Understand this, that 99% of Americans were Protestant Christians. And yes, there was some Anglican Christians who were Protestant who did observe Christmas, but most Americans did not observe Christmas in 1776. As a matter of fact, even into the early 1800s, Congress would meet on Christmas Day, December 25th. And you've heard me talk about the origins of Christmas and so on and so forth. The word Christmas means Christ's Mass. Basically, we don't really know when Jesus was born. December 25th is a date basically chosen by the Roman Catholic Church in the middle of almost in the shortest days of the year, just as some sort of celebration. And it is true that it was in pagan Europe before Christianity came.
I have a question about the Haitians. I just got a text message. If Pastor Chatfield knows what faith or religion were the German Haitian soldiers?
Probably Catholic.
Catholic.
About half of Germany was Roman Catholic, and about half were Lutheran. But the Lutherans they observed Christmas also.
Sure.
So whether they were Lutheran or Roman Catholic, they did observe Christmas. In America, few people observe Christmas at this time of year. And you've heard me tell my little thing, my story, personal story about Christmas. When I learned this truth about Christmas, that it was, first of all, it's never taught in the Bible that you're to observe the birth of Christ. It's good to observe the birth of Christ, but you're not taught that we should have a special day to observe the birth of Christ.
No, I think that was man-made, government-made. just to be a national holiday, if you will?
Well, it was. It came over from Roman Catholicism, Lutheranism. Sure. Lutheranism. They started observing it, and by the 1830s, when you had the potato famine in Ireland, and the Irish came over in large numbers and settled in Boston and in New York, and they observed Christmas. Then and later in the 20th century, late part of the 19th, early 20th century, the Italians, the Polish, they all observed Christmas. And as the Protestants saw them observing Christmas, it kind of caught on. And so that the Protestants did more of the observation of Christmas. But go back to 1776, we did not observe it. In my own personal life, when I learned this truth, that Christmas is really a pagan holiday, a pagan time of year, and it was co-opted by the Roman Catholics and then later the Lutherans. Hey, why should I observe it? You know what? But you can't fight City Hall, and it has become Christmas for Christians in America in the last couple of centuries, a good time. And as it's working, we're saying Merry Christmas. We tell everybody Merry Christmas, and I do. Hey, this is the time of the birth of Christ. The liberals hate Christmas. And by the way, if the liberals hate it, I love it.
Exactly.
But I do understand the history of it, which is okay. Now, we don't really know when Jesus was born. Maybe, probably not December 25th, but who knows? I don't know. It could have been. But that's not the point. It is a time when we remember the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the incarnation, when he became flesh, his birth. It's worth celebrating. Just know the history of it, that it really wasn't observed in America much at all in 1776. Just wasn't. And because there wasn't many Roman Catholics in America in 1776. Very few. But so be it. So that's okay. It was used here. So that's just kind of a point that I won't talk about the origins of Christmas next week. You all know. So let's say Merry Christmas. We understand.
Sure.
We understand the history of it. Now, the Hessian forces lost 22 killed in action, including their commander.
22?
22. And Johann Rahl, who was their commander, he was mortally wounded. He died. And the Americans suffered only 2 deaths during the march and 5 wounded from the battle. Okay. Now, more died later after the battle, maybe from their wounds and from the severity of the march, marching without boots and shoes. But so who knows exactly? Interestingly, James Madison was one of the people that fought in the battle. Later, the fourth president of the United States, also known as the father of the Constitution, he was shot. In the shoulder, and a doctor put a tourniquet on his arm, otherwise because it had went through an artery, and he almost bled to death. What if James Madison would have bled to death? By the way, of course he didn't. Alexander Hamilton fought in this battle, as did James Monroe.
So we had
Hamilton, the first Secretary of Treasury, the man most responsible for setting the American policy in the Washington administration on a commercial setting, and was very influential in setting up America's financial system. He fought in the battle, and as did James Monroe, who was a hulk of a man. The fifth president of the United States was brave. James Madison was a shorter man, but he fought, was wounded, almost died, but didn't, and was very important about 10 years later in 1787, in the summer of 87, the Constitutional Convention, became president. So we all know, it is amazing on these, how things work out. And here's another point of topic. I basically told you what I know about the battle itself. What if, assuming this Johann Rahl did receive intelligence, hey, some loyalists are telling us that they're preparing to cross the Delaware River. What if he would have not dismissed that? Oh, what if he'd have been really prepared for this? He would have been, who knows what have happened. He wasn't really prepared. What if those 50 Patriots who attacked the Hessians without permission or coordination from Washington, just in a patriotic sense, what if they wouldn't have attacked? What if their attack would not have happened? What if Rahl would have thought, oh, that's the big attack, we repelled that easily? I mean, there are so many small points of history that happen all the time and that drastically turn history. Now, I'm a believer in that. Now, some people are not.
Sure.
There's some historians are believing, no. It was inevitable that this was going to be an American victory.
Well, like you said, had Rahl been more prepared and had defeated the Americans, the Patriots, there on December 26, 1776, that could have probably killed our entire revolution.
Possibly. You can certainly make that argument. Huh. A decisive defeat here would have been...
Backbreaking.
Now, we always say that, I've always taught anyway, that the turning point of the war was the Battle of Saratoga. In 1778, that's the turning point. The reason we call that, because after the Battle of Saratoga in upstate New York, that was the battle that convinced the French that we had a real possibility of winning the war, and we signed a treaty with France, and they helped us in our battle. And
that's what brought their French Navy to us.
Yes, and that's what helped us win the Battle of Yorktown, because they bottled in Cornwallis at Yorktown.
Yeah.
And so you can make all these arguments, but Saratoga may never happen if Trenton would have never happened. Then a week or so later, Princeton, Washington captures Princeton. So these victories, although not huge, it was critically important for our morale to do that. And so that, when it comes to history, small things happening can really change the course of history. And sure. I'm a believer, only takes, you might be more important than you think. But maybe you're not. I don't know. God only knows.
Right.
Again, the battle of how much time we got here? Should I summarize this?
We've got about 10 seconds to the out, so why don't you hold that thought? And we'll finish it up on the final segment of our history lesson with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go, and you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Scott Hawley came to our home and explained all the benefits of investing in a safe step walk-in tub and shower. After hearing all the options and features, all while using fresh, chemical-free water every night, made our decision a no-brainer. Call or text Scott at 231-534-0755 to schedule a free home visit. Mention Trucker Randy and get a $500 discount. Again, call or text Scott at 231-534-0755.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment with our discussion here with Pastor Chatfield. You had some final thoughts to wrap up this lesson plan for us?
Right. Why is this the Battle of Trenton so important? First of all, it restored the morale of the Continental Army. Hey, we might be able to win this, okay? And it gave Washington's leadership more confidence. Secondly, and this is important, it allowed us to retain troops had signed up for a year or so, and it was running out, and who wants to fight in a losing battle?
Sure.
Many soldiers stayed in the Army, and Washington was able to recruit more because look what happened to Trenton. We can do this. You have to have some victories. That is just the way it is. It's also important because we did get a lot of supplies. We captured a large amount of muskets, bayonets, swords, cannons. Everything you need for warfare, maybe even shoes. I mean, a lot of our men didn't have boots.
Right.
It was also important because it was a strategic location.
Now, I got a text message when you had said that only 22 Haitians died, actually, you're saying, in the battle?
Hessians,
I'm sorry. I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. Did we hold them as prisoners of war? Did we execute them? What happened to those guys?
Prisoners of war. We ended up getting, what's the number? I'm going to say about 900. I can't remember the exact number that we captured. Hang on here. A lot. I'm looking for my note.
So 900, 1,000 of these Haitians got captured and held as prisoners of war.
And then they were just shipped back. Then they just went back
to
Germany.
Okay, just put them on a boat and send them back to Germany. Gotcha.
Yes,
gotcha.
Yes, gotcha. That's the way it used to work.
Right.
Even in the Civil War, it's how it worked. You'd capture a guy. Sometimes they just say, okay, promise me you're not going to fight again, and then you'd let him go.
I trust that he would do it.
That happened often.
Unbelievable. Okay?
And it was strategic, too. It was located, it was in New Jersey.
It's right where on the water.
Okay, and it kind of shook the British too. Wow, they just could hardly believe it. And lastly, it demonstrated Washington's ingenuity and resilience as a leader. Let me just throw this in here too, though. If you read a lot of Washington's diary and his notes and his letters that we now have, it is not like Washington was this all powerful, all never doubting himself person. Listen, most leaders have significant self-doubt. It
sure
is, and Washington did. Why did I ever get myself involved in this? This, you know, you know, why am I doing this?
but you ask yourself that a lot of times on Friday mornings for the last 9-10 years.
Exactly. Yeah, it's been over 10 years. So why did I do this?
Well, why did I do it?
Yep. Once you're committed to it, though, you carry through. And sure. There's so much was riding on this. George Washington was a believer in the cause, and he had a commitment to these men. And you know, when men are following you, you can't quit. If somebody is a believer in you and following you, even though their numbers may be small, you can't quit on them. Quitting is not an option.
Well,
you got to go forward.
It's funny because I've had a couple of people reach out to me in a moment of self-doubt when we were facing a writing campaign for Vicki's Antrim County clerk race. At one point, I actually thought, you know what? We're going to lose this. I had that self-doubt. And I said on the radio that if she lost, that was it. I think I may even told you this. If she loses, we're done. We're selling our home. We're going to sell the radio station. We're moving out of Michigan. And we're done doing the show, and I'm off the air, and I'm moving on to the next, you know, portion of my life. And so many people said, Randy, I was just shocked to hear you speak that way and thought, oh, my God, if we lose his show, if we lose the radio station, they start playing country music on the station. What are we going to do to get our information? And don't quit. Please, please, please don't quit. You know, don't give up. Don't sell. It's a political race, and it's in God's hands now. I mean, it was like the week before, I think. And I remember what it was. I think I may have sent it to you. The national news, NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. Did I send you that little video snippet they did?
No.
They ran that on October 28th, a week before the election. And I'll send it to you so you can watch it. And we had so many people call us and said, after seeing her basically at the end of the interview, what would you say to Donald Trump? And she says, I'd tell him to stay out of my county. And then she laughed like Kamala Harris, basically. So many people called us and said, Randy, we just saw that. We're voting for Vicki. I mean, it was that. I mean, 60, 70 text messages, probably 10, 15 phone calls. So I'll send it to you so you can enjoy it. But bottom line, you have self-doubt. It definitely happens. And that's basically George Washington was struggling with that a lot. And this Trenton battle actually helped offset that self-doubt, I believe.
Right. Dwight D. Eisenhower had doubt. Okay, we're going. We're going through.
Yeah.
We made that decision June 5th, 1944. We're going tomorrow, June 6th.
Yeah.
After everything was in motion, of course. Did you think these people, you think Randy Bishop is a superhuman? What are you talking about?
No.
Of course he's not.
No.
Of course he's not. You got to portray confidence or nobody will believe anything. So,
right.
By the way, I was going to mention this. I got a bunch of kids in my class. Say, hey, Pastor Chatfield, you ought to do a YouTube channel and do what do you call it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called when you're
a blogger, a podcast.
Blogger, podcast, yeah, whatever.
So, all right.
Maybe so. I will.
We'll see you on the radio for church this Sunday from 11 to noon. We appreciate you very much. Thank you for the lesson plan, sir.
You're welcome.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with trucker Randy Bishop.
From Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi.